Well, thanks for being here tonight, and we are so glad you were here. I'm trying something new. I'm trying to get this on my laptop, and I do not know. Hold on here. What do we got? I thought this is the most dependable electronic device that I have, and there it is. Okay, it came up. You know, for the longest time, I have been, okay, this may be a short sermon. Isn't that funny? I have been going with my iPad, and then for 4 Wednesdays in a row, I had problems with it, and it worked, but it was just frightening. And so I've been going with paper, and tonight I thought, you know what? I'm going to bring my laptop because I know I can get it to work. And of all the things, I think the Lord is telling me that I need to go back to paper. I will never, ever how's everybody think it's going so far? Yeah. I'm going to reboot it. So we have been talking about different colors in the Bible. And so for the past couple of weeks, we've talked about red, and we have talked about green. Those are typical colors of Christmas. In fact, today at work, we were all dressing up in different colors, and red and green. And I had red pants on and a green shirt, and it looked horrible. I hated the way I looked, so I put my coat on and wore my coat all day. I just felt I didn't really like what I was wearing. But it's very festive. Everybody was in green and red. And when you think of Christmas, red and green come to mind. There's a green tree. We've got red ribbons and bows down here. And chances are, if you drive by a house and it's decorated, you will see a lot of red and you will see a lot of green. So another color is gold. That is a Christmas color. I mean, you take the song that Tim and the band just sang, and I was going to mention it anyway, that Frosty the Snowman sang, silver and gold. So when you think of gold, it's really, really connected to Christmas. So what I want to do here for a few minutes is just talk a little bit about gold, why gold matters, what the Bible says about it, and most importantly, what's the takeaway? What can we learn? Or how can gold change how we feel about Jesus? All right, let me try this again here. I think we're going to be okay. I have no idea what happened. So gold is special. It is a really unique precious metal. People do crazy things and act out in crazy ways when it comes to gold. Do you know that nations have started wars over gold? We make jewelry out of it. We make coins out of it. It was in my lifetime, long ago, in the 70s at least, that we based our system of money on gold. Now, in the Bible, it's an important color in the Bible. It shows up about almost 500 times, so 400 and a lot, almost 500 times it shows up in some way. So it is very, very important. So 170 years ago, we had something here in America, in California, called the Gold Rush. What I want to do just for a little bit is talk about gold. There are a couple of important stories and things I want to share just to remind us how important that is, right or wrong. It's special. Gold is special. So I read a book, I don't know now, 30 years ago, and it was called Ship of Gold in the Deep Blue Sea. And I read this about the gold rush, some pretty interesting things. In 1948, The little settlement of San Francisco had a population of 459 people. Sacramento was one store in a warehouse, and all of the Chinese people in California numbered seven. There were only seven Chinese people known to live in the state of California. At the end of 1949, a year and a half later, San Francisco had 25,000 people. Sacramento had 12,000, and 20,000 more Chinese people arrived. In 1949, 85,000 people flocked to California. 23,000 of those were from countries other than the United States. Every 2 weeks, a steamer left San Francisco with cargo and passengers bound for the east, carrying a commercial shipment of gold weighing 3 tons. 6,000 pounds of gold sailed across the Pacific Ocean. That's amazing. What a story. That I don't think there's been anything like that in America. I mean, we've grown and grown and grown, but no place has grown that fast, that quickly, that much. And it's because people realized, hey, there's gold there. And we didn't have all kinds of great communication, no internet, cars, nothing like that. But they found a way to get there. I want to tell you another story before we look at some verses tonight. And it is about a man who lived thousands of years ago in Greece. He was a Greek mathematician, and his name was Archimedes. Now, I know a couple of you here who are math people, science people, you know that name, Archimedes. And he did a lot of important studies and discoveries. One of them had to do with something called pi. Now, I don't mean the pie that you eat at Smith's, amen? I don't mean that pie. I mean it's a special number that helps us measure circles. And we know a lot more about circles because of the studies that he did. Another thing that he taught us is a lot about the lever and how you can move heavy things in smart ways using a lever. He may not have been the most famous person that studied the lever, but he did teach us a lot about it. But the most important thing, I think, and the most interesting thing is how he discovered something called displacement. Now, here's the story. The king has a gold bar, and he wants a crown made from this gold bar. So he gives the gold bar to his personal blacksmith, and in a few days, he gets this very, very beautiful crown back. And its weight was the same, exactly the same, as the gold bar that the king gave the blacksmith. So everything was good. But the king got to thinking, and he was paranoid, and he thought, what if I cannot trust my blacksmith? What if he took a little of the gold and mixed something else in so it would weigh the same, but maybe he took something from me? So he was really paranoid about that. He tossed and he turned and he woke up with that terrible thought. What if he kept some of the gold for himself? So to help solve the problem, the king called for the smartest man in the kingdom, and his name was Archimedes. The king told Archimedes his problem and said that he expected an answer in a week. Now, Archimedes was very, very afraid because he had no idea how to figure this out. How do you figure out if someone, because it looks the same, it weighs the same, how can he figure out if it really was the same? He thought and thought for days. Well, the story goes, one day, Archimedes was taking a bath. And when he sits in the tub, he looks at the side of the tub and he watched the water go up. And he figured it out right then. He knew how to figure out if that crown was made of solid gold. And the legend is, he was so excited that he got out of the tub and may or may not have forgotten to dress and ran through the streets yelling, "Eureka, Eureka," which in Greek, I think, means "I found it, I found it, I've discovered it." So he tells the king, I think he got dressed or whatever, but then he goes to the king and tells them, "Here's what we're going to do." Archimedes gets to the king's court and he gets a container of water. And he puts the crown, which weighed exactly as much as the gold brick, and puts it in and watched how far the water went up. And he takes it out, so there's the same water in, and then he puts the brick in, and the water goes much higher. He said, "There you go." Because Archimedes realized that gold, even though it weighs the same as other metals, doesn't take up as much space. So he looked and he said, "Right there, the blacksmith was stealing the gold from you." And that's how Archimedes figured out a famous concept named displacement. I learned that as a kid. I've always stuck with that. And the thing that's fascinated me about stories like this and other stories with gold and people who would do these incredible journeys looking for gold, there's something special about gold. It has a value, it has a property about it that just people really want to know more about. Stories about gold are really, really neat. It has a special attraction. Now, when you read about gold in the Bible, or you see it in our lives, you know there's something special. And I'll tell you what I believe gold teaches us in the Bible. It shows us how holy and how royal and how perfect that Jesus is. You think about when Jesus was born. He was a baby in a manger, and do you remember the gifts that the wise men bring? What were the gifts? Somebody just tell me. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those weren't chosen by accident. It wasn't because they just had a lot of those left over. Those are special gifts intended to teach us something about Jesus. Let's read the verse. It's one of the most famous verses in the Bible. "And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." That's important because even as a baby, these wise men were acknowledging him. They were showing him respect as the future King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They were offering gold. That's a gift you give to a king. And that's what they were giving Jesus. I want to talk just a little bit about Jesus before we're done tonight. Ordinary people loved Jesus. People like you and me, if we were to come in contact with Jesus back then, we would have loved him. He was real. He was attentive. He was caring. Ordinary people like us would have loved him. But for some reason, there were some people, especially leaders, they were threatened by him. They had a pretty good system in place they wanted to keep in place, so they were threatened by Jesus. So Jesus lived the perfect life, but at the end of his life, he was put to death by something called crucifixion, and that simply means that soldiers hung him on a cross until he died. Now, he didn't fight this crucifixion. He didn't. He could have. In fact, he could have stopped it. But he went through with it. And what we need to know is he went through with this crucifixion because he loved us. And he knew that was the way that we, ordinary people, could have a relationship with God through his death, this crucifixion on the cross. He loves you. Jesus loves you. He lived a perfect life. He never did anything, anytime that was wrong. Think about that. I think about me today, how many things I've done wrong today. He had no days, no time in his life where he did anything wrong. He faced temptations, but he never sinned, ever. He spent his entire life helping other people. He made blind people see. He made lame people walk. He came in contact with people who had mental health issues, and he healed them. He is the greatest person. He did unusual things. I read stories about Jesus, and I think to myself, I would never have done it that way. He would always do surprising things. One time he spent the entire day at a tax collector. One time they caught a woman in the very act of adultery, and he took a stand for her, and then he yelled at religious leaders. He's the greatest person that ever lived. Nobody ever did more with their life than Jesus did. No one ever had the impact that he has. He's the greatest. And the Bible describes him. One of the names he's given is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And a couple of different places in the Bible, you will see that he is connected to golden crowns. Golden crowns. He wears golden crowns. Where he is now in heaven, the streets are made of gold. And someday, it looks like, if we believe the vision that John wrote about, there will be a day when people take their own golden crowns and throw them at Jesus' feet as an act of worship. So he's connected somehow to golden crowns. He's kingly. He's royal. He is worthy of our praise. So he wasn't like anyone who's ever lived. He came to earth in the form of a man, and he's a person who could feel pain and feel hurt inside. He faced temptations, but he was God with us. The Bible says it was a mystery, but somehow the Bible says that Jesus was God with us. He was God, but he made himself a person so we could relate to him. I want to show you a couple of verses and just show that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and associated with golden crowns. The first is in way back in the Psalms. Now, what we have in Psalm 21 is a prophecy of Jesus. It's David writing about Jesus 1,000 years before Jesus. Psalm 21, verse 3. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. That's about Jesus a long time, even before Jesus lived. Now, here's a verse about when Jesus comes back to earth, Revelation 14, 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. So when we read in the Bible about something gold, or we see a golden crown, it's a picture or a reminder, it certainly is to me, that I need to step back and think, wow, I serve Jesus. He is my friend. I'm close to him, but I need never forget he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Everything in the universe will bow to Jesus Christ. So when I do this study, I'm reminded of how great and powerful and kingly and worthy is Jesus. And he still loved us enough to come to earth, live a perfect life, and die in our place. So tonight, as we leave, I just want to encourage you to just think about two things. Who Jesus is, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and never forget what he did. He loved us enough that he died for us so that we could have a relationship with God. Who Jesus is and what he did. Amen. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for Christmas time. Thank you for all the songs and the lights and the decoration and the spirits, all the colors we see. Lord, they're reminders of things, and help us think about who you are and what you did for us. Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for the Esquire. I pray for again for the people who are sick and not feeling well. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to close. Okay, I need to take a vote. Sherry and I were talking. We can't decide the color for next week. We'll either do silver or white. Well, I'm going to count to three and yell out what you think, silver or white, and I'll take a vote in my head, okay? One, two, three. I heard white. I heard more whites. Does everybody agree? Okay, that's what it's going to be. Have a great week.